In years past, I've usually talked about the films that are nominated and I've watched them. But this year I didn't. I've only seen Oppenheimer and bits and pieces of Killers of the Flower Moon, and that's about it. It really hasn't been in me to watch a film. When I saw Oppenheimer, that was back in September. That was at by chance. You know, I think it was Labor Day weekend, and I went and saw a late night showing, didn't get out till almost 1, 3-hour movie. It's like, okay, you know, and then you go work the next day. It's like, okay, I'm tired, but I saw Oppenheimer, and I smoked a joint during it. So, of course, you know, 3-hour movie, those interrogation scenes were scary. And then Killers of the Flower Moon, I've seen bits and pieces of it, but really mindset wise, I really haven't had it in me to sit and watch a film. I think the last film I watched was The Killer, directed by David Fincher. It was okay. It was all right. But like attention span wise, I've just really, I don't know what it is. Well, I know what it is, but you know, it's a lot of things. And my friend that throws Oscar parties, she's worried. And I'm like, oh, don't be worried. She's like, well, you know, what's going on? I was like, oh, I just don't have it in me to watch them, you know? I mean, I like movies, and there are certain ones, you know, will come on, whether it's The Northman or The Witch, or, you know, certain movies I'll watch, but I haven't had it in me. So I really don't have a bone in this fight this year, Oscar-wise. Usually I would. Remember last year I watched All Quiet on the Western Front. Absolutely loved it. Loved how it was photographed. You know, war is brutal. War is brutal. And so, I mean, you know, yeah. Film is such a part of the lexicon. And, you know, when I was coming up, the films, I remember, like, when Friday came out, oh, I absolutely loved it. I loved it. I was probably about 14 when it came out. And I loved it. I still do. You know, every time it's on, I catch a glimpse of it. And or when this next generation starts quoting Friday, and I'm like, that's my movie, that's my generation. We were all, I didn't ever watch the sequels. I thought those were redundant and pointless. Why would you do a sequel of that? Now we do sequels of everything. We have a upcoming sequel of Beetlejuice, 30-something years in the making, so it's like, okay. 36 years? 1988? Yeah. Isn't that hard to believe? 36 years, 37, whatever. You lose track of time in those instances. And I remember being a little kid and watching Beetlejuice, and my grandparents loved it. My grandmother was obsessed with it. And I could understand why. I mean, the first time we watched it, she says to my mother, I can't believe you're letting them watch that. Well, our babysitter had recorded it off of HBO. Remember that, when you could record, you get the VHS, and we wore that tape out, every Halloween I would try to watch it. It was always my, that or The Exorcist, it was always my staple to watch. So yeah, sequels, I mean, the Avengers films, of course, you're gonna have sequels, you know, when they bring them back, I'm not watching them. I already went through that. I went through Endgame, and it's like, great, you know? It was a moment to behold it, and you watched it, and you enjoyed it, and you were on the edge of your seat, and then something happens, and you could hear a pin drop, you know? It was that quiet. And that's what films do. But yeah, even music, bits and pieces of me, I'll listen to music, but like sometimes I'll just drive in silence. And that's very, I think of my friend, what's up, James? When we were coming up in college, he was driving this old, what were you driving? Was it a Mustang or a Camaro? I don't remember. And he didn't have a radio. And I was like, how do you amuse yourself? And he's like, I just think a lot. You know, I drive in silence. And he and I are close in age. We're probably about a year apart. I'm 1980. He's 1981. And he loves music. I mean, we were talking about Slipknot, because Slipknot's playing this year. And, you know, I had seen Slipknot in 2022. And he's like, oh, my God. I said, yeah, they didn't want to leave the stage, Slipknot. They just kept coming back for more. But yeah, we would talk about that. You know, you drive in silence sometimes. And music is such a freeing thing. It's such a great thing. But yeah, sometimes I don't want to listen to it, you know. And I am a musician. So it's like, if I don't want to listen to music, something's up. So, you know, I got to get to the root cause of all that. So back to the films. I mean, you know, it's good that my friends are keeping me up to date. Okay, you know, there's this film. All right, you know, this one's interesting. Yeah, because usually I would, you know, if it's nominated, I'm going to watch it, but not this time, no. Maybe later on, maybe, you know, there's always a chance that I'll catch something on TV or streaming, and well, mainly streaming. I could stream it on my device or do this, and, you know, it'll be great. So what do I think's gonna win? I really don't know. I really don't care. Last year it was a different story. It was all about Everything Everywhere All at Once and All Quiet on the Western Front, and hoping that something from The Banshees of Inisherin, because I really liked that film, really liked it, wins. And you know, it didn't, and that's okay. You know, you still enjoy those films. I mean, I remember The Northman didn't even get nominated. Jason Almey and I did a podcast on that. You know, but at the same time, it didn't matter to me. It's just an award. That's it. That's all it is. It's the highest honor in film, but it's just an award, you know. And I go back to that Bill Hicks thing, you know, it's just a ride. Okay, it's just an award. That's all it is. It really doesn't mean anything. It may mean something to some people, you know. As a filmmaker, and I studied film, I was going to be a director or a cinematographer. Yeah, you know, that's great. Okay, you that's the highest honor, you know. I think the people that work behind the scenes, it's much more for them. You know, whether you're a cinematographer, or you're an editor, or a post-production person, or designer, or makeup, or special effects, sound, everything, you know, building. I've often said that making a film is like building a house, because you have all these integral parts, and you have the foundation, and you have, you know, everything from the ground up, and then you have to put it all together and make it sustainable for someone to live in, you know, whether it's a above ground or underground home. You know, you got to make sure you got your plumbing, you got your electricity, or even solar panels, you know, and the windows and central air and heating. And there are many ways to build a home, you know, to sustainable living and being able to, that's your forever home. You know, that's the home that you're going to die in, you know, that's the home that you're going to fall in love in and have all these wonderful moments. And that's what a film is. A film is building a home, and you build it with all these fabulous people, and you get together. And I've made a film, and it was an independent film, but it was very independent. It was just me, my cousin, the director, and the cameraman. He was the camera and sound man, and I'm the actor with a shaved head. This is in 2004, so this is 20 years ago. And we were filming out near the hills up near where the Altamont is, and in Northern California. And I had a chainsaw, and we had to take the chain for safety reasons off the chainsaw. And then I had to move the chainsaw directly in front of the camera, and then we turned it on. And I had just shaved my head. I did it specifically for that. And you can't really see my face, but I was playing, you know, a chainsaw killer. So it wasn't Texas Chainsaw, because, you know, that's copyright. I've never watched the finished film. I have never watched it. I think my cousin had it at like an event, and he has it somewhere. And he's listening, you know. I don't really care if I ever watch it. It's just, it was good to be a part of it. It's good to be a part of something magnitude, you know. And I tried to make films, and it didn't attest to anything. And then I started to meet people, and it's like, we didn't want to make films. We would rather just sit around and smoke pot or make music, you know. I had a friend in college, and she loved how I sang, and I could sing all kinds of things for her. I could sing Nirvana for her, but primarily she liked when I would sing Tool for her. She's since passed away, and she died in 2008 of heart failure. And I remember we'd be in the car. She was the one person who could keep me in key, because it was always tough for me to be in key because I couldn't always hear it. And like, we were obsessed with Tool, and we were listening to Salvia, and it's all this live stuff, and I'm trying to sing along to Maynard, and she's listening to me. She's like, "Oh my God, you are so determined." I was like, "Yeah." She says, "You can't go that high as Maynard." I'm like, "But I want to work at it." And yeah, you know, even a Perfect Circle, I mean, you know, there's bits and pieces of Three Libras or Thinking of You. But yeah, we would talk about that, our love of Tool and the lyrical content, and what is he really singing about, like in Eulogy, which is probably one of my favorite songs, where he's like, get off your fucking cross, we need the extra space to, you know, nail the next full martyr. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about actually the entity himself? Or is he talking about L. Ron Hubbard, who, or, you know, how people are martyrs, you know, and we worship them or whatever, and then, you know, we need the space, get off the fucking cross, you know. And I had covered that also when I was talking about Bill Hicks, you know, and his, you know, Arizona Bay, and that's where Maynard gets it, you know, he borrowed that from Bill Hicks, this idea that California is going to fall into the ocean. And that's not the first time I've heard that. I had a friend in high school, and she was Native American, and she said to me that her family always believed, and I stand by her on this because she was such a wise person. She said, "We've always believed that the new coastline is either going to begin in Colorado or Arizona, that the earth is going to take California back. The ocean's going to take it back. That's, you know, what's going to happen." It's like, okay, I believe you right there. I respect that. So yeah, you know, music is such a part of me, as is film, but, you know, right now I just want to live, and I just want to go outside and be around people and do what I need to do and heal, and it's easier said than done. Someone said to me, a good friend, "Snap out of it." And I said, "Yeah, it's easier said than done. You know, there's integral parts to this, and things have to flow and things have to connect, and you know, you have these levels that you have to reach as a person." And there are certain films I'll watch, you know, like Anti-Mame, or I love The Goonies. I will love The Goonies till the day I die. That is one of my top films. I never get tired of it. I always get that anxiety that the Fratellis are going to get them, you know, or just the whole humor of everyone in The Goonies. And that really, that's playing right there as an actor, and as a filmmaker, that's what you want to do. It's not, you don't want ever to come off as just acting. You want to see, it's a form of play, you know. That's what actors used to do in the 30s. You know, you could have fun on those films. Betty Davis talked about that. You could have fun on films. You shot those films in like 30 days. Now you got someone saying, hey, we're wasting time here. We got, hey, if the gate's clean, the gate's cool. You know, you got that. You only have so much film that you can shoot, and it's about the money. But when you're doing an independent film, oh yeah, you can have fun, because, you know, basically you're feeding each other. Someone's making the sandwiches. Or in the case of Jenna Rollins, who's still with us, and her late husband, John Cassavetes, they made those films in their house. They would bankroll their own house to basically, market the film. And they'd invite their friends to play with them, like Ben Gazzara and Peter Falk and all of these wonderful actors. Who would work with Cassavetes. Cassavetes was a real maverick. Him and his wife, you know, and he directed her in A Woman Under the Influence, and Husbands and Wives, and Stage Night, and Gloria. And that's a true partnership right there, is to be able to make those films together, you know, and you're doing it yourself. You're not doing it with a studio backing you. What he would do is, and she would do, they would do these big films or TV series, and then they would use that money for their films that they made with their friends. That really is being at play right there. Those are the films really that, in my mind, are usually good to get nominated, because even if they don't win, you know, the whole experience, that nomination is for everyone who worked on that, because it's a form of play. As an actor, you know, you don't want to take it totally seriously. I mean, you look at Brando, half the time he was like, eh. You know, so I love film. I know how to take a film apart, how to juxtaposition it. I mean, I took a photography class for that in college, because it fascinated me. It fascinated me how film goes together, or how you crop it, and then if you want to do it in the widescreen, and the lighting and everything, and then, you know, how it erodes, and then if you do that, and how these filmmakers would put things together and stitch it together, and, you know, you move around dialogue, you move around audio. I mean, what Tarantino does, like in Inglourious Basterds, where they're going to do that soundtrack for that movie, where they're going to, you know, they're going to take the power back, and they needed someone to make a soundtrack for them, and so they threatened someone, you know. That's a true independent right there. It's like, okay, this soundtrack we're going to do could get us all killed, so we have to find the right person, and we have to get him and say, hey, we're going to do this to you and rat you out unless you give us a soundtrack. And then she has to deliver it in English. So, because she's, you know, Melanie Laroche, she's a French actress, so she, you know, but yeah, film was great. I think it was There Will Be Blood when I first saw it that made me want to be a cinematographer. I was gonna switch. I was gonna go from directing to cinematography, because I just loved the look and the feel of There Will Be Blood. It was just so dark and mysterious, and this whole intent of the greed and all of the emotional entanglements of There Will Be Blood, and all the truth and lies and the madness. And you know, with Oppenheimer, you could see that in there, what Christopher Nolan did. I mean, come on. And Oppenheimer himself was haunted by his hand in the bomb and what it really did. I mean, if you watch the film, it is such a long film. There is a surprise toward the end, and casting wise, I won't say who it is, but, you know, and then Robert Downey Jr. Is totally unrecognizable as that one character, Strauss. So, I mean, everyone, even Emily Blunt and Florence Pugh, everyone really put their salts into Oppenheimer. And then Killers of the Flower Moon, you know, DiCaprio, De Niro, but Lily Gladstone has been around a long time. And so this is great, because she's getting her dues, you know, this really powerful actress. And she's a part of the LGBTQ, so what's up, Lily? And she gives this phenomenal performance in Killers of the Flower Moon. And I've seen bits and pieces of it. And that's a performance where everyone is in agreement that this is a work of art. So that's why she is nominated. And that's why she will likely win, because everyone is in agreement. That this performance is a landmark performance, and what she brings to the table as an actor is really extraordinary. And for Scorsese to you know, bring that, because he's such a great director. And so yeah, I really look forward to watching the rest of it, because that's an important film right there. That's an important piece of history, and it should be taught in schools. You know, I'm more drawn to it than Oppenheimer, because Oppenheimer is just, that's my dad's stuff. You know, he's a microbiologist, and he knows about science and bombs and shit, and even, you know, and war, because he's a war veteran. So
I mean,
yeah. So, like, in terms of film and in terms of this year, this award season, I don't have a bone in, or I don't have a fight in this. I really don't. And well, you know, it's sometimes it's good to just evolve from that stuff. So, I mean, right now my whole thing has been healing and talking to the right people, asking the right questions. I went and met with someone today and I gave them, I wear, you know, people know me, I have bracelets, you know, I got Road of Light and Tiger's Eye, and I gave her one of my bracelets because I was like, you know, we had this conversation in this moment that I won't talk about because it's personal and private. And so that's what I've been doing, is I've been shedding, you know, these tools that have been helping me, and these trinkets, I won't call them trinkets, but these tools that have been helping me, you know, because I feel they deserve a better home. I've already given them so much of my energy, you know. So yeah, film and music, what's going to happen with the Academy Awards? Well, there's always a surprise, you know, especially in the supporting categories. It's not always set in motion, okay? Same with the acting categories, but Lily Gladstone, she's a sure bet, basically. And then as is Christopher Nolan, you know. Now, as for film, who knows? It could either be Oppenheimer, it could either be Killers of the Flower Moon, it could be, what's the film my friend talked about, American Fiction. It could be either that, it could be, you know, I mean, yeah. It could be either one of those. So, yeah, that's here's to whatever happens. I mean, I'm gonna go to an Oscar party and I'm gonna eat the food and we're gonna watch and then I'll probably go back and watch them. That's what I used to do when I was younger, when I was a teenager. You know, I hadn't watched any of those films. I'd go back and watch them. Oh, okay, it won this. You know, like Shakespeare in Love, which was or Saving Private Ryan. Or, what was another one? As Good as It Gets. We'd seen Titanic as a family too many times. They would go, like, every weekend to watch it. I'm like, oh, geez. How many times do you have to watch the boat sink? We already know what happens. In fact, I remember there was this girl in high school. Oh, she smacked me really good. We were all hanging out on the quad. This is the 90s, remember? And I said to my friend, you know, I laughed when Rose let go of Leo and he sinks to the bottom. And she jabbed me in the shoulder and said, oh, I hate you. He dies. I said, well, hey, he could have fit on that door. Shit. He could have fit. That's still a debate to this day. He could have fit on the fucking door with her. You know, oh, let go. And then she has to let go. And I think she breaks his hand or something. Sinks to the bottom, you know. It's like, yeah. Okay. In fact, I remember... Bette Midler made fun of that, where she was giving Titanic like a music award and she's like, boat, great big boat, boat sinks to the bottom, boy proves not to be so buoyant. Oh, I love this, you're so smart. And that's what she says. Those are her words, those are Bette's words right there. So whatever happens, and film is this illumination, you know. I've talked about this before. You have people who are no longer with us, who are still solidified on the silver screen, on the big screen, like James Dean, like Robert, or I'm sorry, oops, like Marlon Brando, like, you know, Betty Davis, and even the late Richard Lewis. Oh my God, he was so fucking funny. He was so fucking funny. I remember, what was he? Wasn't he in... Oh God, what was that movie? Oh jeez, it's been such a long day. Oh, what was it called? See what happens. You know, you lose your train of thought and it's like, shit. I thought I knew that film. I thought everyone that was in that film, and because it's been a while since I watched it. Wasn't he in Princess Bride? Because I had to watch that in school. Let me see. I mean, Princess Bride, was he in it? No. Oh, no, he was in Robin Hood Men in Tights. I saw that. What else was he in? Well, he was in some good films. You know, he was on television. What was he on? I mean, anytime he was on show, you know, Happily Ever After, Failure Tale is for Every. Okay, I remember that. I remember we had to watch that in school. I don't remember why. We were teenagers. I don't remember. The 90s are a very interesting time for me. I was a teenager. I loved it. And, yeah. We didn't have social media and we didn't, you know, you just kind of did your thing, you know. And you would go to the movies. That's what you do. You know, you go and watch these movies. And you didn't use your phone to say, hey, I'm watching this movie. Because that didn't exist. It didn't exist. It was funny. It was funny. You could have conversations with people, you know, and they weren't on their phone all the fucking time. And does that bother me? Sometimes, yeah. I understand if it's a work thing. But if it's, come on. That is just... No. I mean, I'm dialed into the moment, and yeah. So, it's been long. Adios, Oscars.